Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, it is dinner time. The question is, what are you doing for dinner? My suggestion is go to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. They have two great locations in the Denver metro area. One is off of Arapahoe Road in Centennial. That's where I go. And the other one is in North Denver. Plus, they have locations all over the state, especially when you're driving up to Estes Park. You got to check it out. I mean, they smoke their meats. It seems like forever, talking about their ribs, their brisket, their meatloaf, corned beef, you name it, they smoke it. And their sides are fantastic. Mac and cheese, great. I don't eat barbecue beans, but I eat those because it has a little bit of bacon in it, brisket, pork, so good, great non-barbecue options as well. Highly recommend it. Why don't you just go there on us? We're going to give away $20 right now. 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
ESPN's Mike Clay projects Von Miller to get 9.5 sacks this season. Bradley Chubb to have 8. Malik Reed, who had 8 last year, to have 3. And I understand why Malik Reed's numbers would be down, because Von Miller is playing. The total for those three guys is 20.5. If those three guys have 20.5, how does this season look to you?
Bad.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, they had 42 sacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, in 2016, following the Super Bowl, they had 41 sacks.
Yeah.
With that, I don't see where another 21.5 sacks come from.
Yeah.
And if those three only get 20.5.
Unless Draymond Jones just goes off.
Right. Right.
That's where it could come from if you're making up for a gap in that. But it's more likely that Draymond Jones settles in at kind of where he was last year, 6 sacks. Now, maybe he amps that total up to 8. Don't forget, you got 17 games in play as well. So if these three edge rushers finish with 20.5 sacks in 17 games, if they're averaging barely over 1 sack up per game among them, that's a huge disappointment based on what we know that they can do.
So you have two guys who potentially could be gone after this upcoming season. Von Miller, contract up. Bradley Chubb is in his fifth year right now.
No, fifth year option is next year.
Fifth year, okay.
So he's got this year on his rookie contract. Next year's his fifth year option. Malik Reed, though, interestingly enough,
restricted free agent,
is an RFA after this year. So his price tag goes up. And
you give him a second round tender.
I would think they would, just to cover their bases. It would make a lot of sense. And certainly if they lose Von Miller in free agency, Malik Reed on an RFA deal definitely makes some sense.
Well, you really don't have to make a decision on Bradley Chubb next year anyway.
Yeah, it's the year after.
Right. So
he's got 2 years to
figure this out. So if he has 8 sacks, you don't negotiate at all. You negotiate towards the end of the season, mm-hmm, unless you want to bet on the come. The problem is that John Elway did that way too many times with guys. He waited till the last minute. Guys like Malik Reed are a great example. I don't know if I ever told you this story, but I'll share it with you if you haven't heard it. Certainly for our listeners, you probably have not heard it. I was told on very good authority the year before Malik Reed's Super Bowl season in 2015.
Malik Reed?
Not Malik Reed. Malik Jackson, excuse me. Okay. The year before his final year, which was 2015, the Super Bowl season, the Broncos really, really liked him. Liked him a lot. Not a little, a lot. But John Elway waited. He waited throughout the entire season. And instead of betting on the come and seeing the potential of Malik Jackson left for Jacksonville, 6 years, $90 million. I'll tell you what Malik Jackson told me. Because Danny Trevathan left the same offseason as Malik Jackson. He said to me, John Elway had the opportunity to sign me and Danny Trevathan for nothing the year before, but didn't do it. And that's why we both walked. Is George Payton going to do that with Bradley Chubb? If Bradley Chubb checks in with just 8 sacks this year? Because I got news for you. If for some reason, if you decide to let Bradley Chubb walk with 8 to maybe 10 sacks, and I don't know if Von Miller's going to be here in 2 years, you got to look at that draft and get yourself some serious pass rushers.
Yeah.
Because now you're missing two. They might have to keep Bradley Chubb for the simple reason it's hard enough to get one pass rusher. Look, let's look at the Broncos. Around the time you and I got here, around 2003, 2004, they got Elvis Dumervil.
06 draft, fourth round.
Right. And Trevor Price, I think, was pretty much on the outs.
He was a cap casualty in the 06 offseason after they lost the AFC Championship game.
They could not find anyone to rush the passer. Their pass rush was dreadful.
And they kept trying. I mean, remember they picked
Jarvis Moss.
They picked two defensive ends in the 07 draft. That 07 draft, they had.
Was bad, except for one guy.
Ryan Harris.
There you go.
And then Marcus Thomas was okay. He played out his contract. He was solid, but Tim Crowder was a bust. Jarvis Moss is one of the biggest busts in Broncos history.
Right.
And Thomas was an inside defensive, interior defensive lineman, and then Moss and Crowder were edge guys, and both of them flamed out. But they kept trying. Now, it was funny because they had Trevor Price, who was a very good defensive lineman.
But Shanahan didn't like him personally.
He was a hell of a player.
But he didn't like him personally. He felt he was too outspoken, right?
Too outspoken. And the thing with Trevor that I liked personally about him.
Well, he was great with the media.
Well, he's extremely smart.
You know why? Because he was outspoken.
Well, no,
that's
no.
Why we love him.
See, I
like Shannon Sharp.
It wasn't just outspoken. It was that here was a guy whose mind wasn't necessarily on football.
Yeah.
He had interest in music. I mean, he's written children's books in his retirement.
I've colored children's books.
A very smart human being
recently
who was, they're very good. Good for you.
Thank you.
And had a lot of things going on. Trevor Price could have pretty much done whatever he wanted, but he was really talented at football. But in the midst of all that, just before you came to Denver, the Broncos got a really good, I believe it was an 11.5 sack season out of Bertrand Berry, defensive end.
That was before my time.
Yeah.
I got here in 04.
And I'll never forget Bert. Actually, but when he was before free agency, he was around the building. He came into the office I shared with somebody else, and we were all talking for a while. And he just figured that he would sign a deal with the Broncos that because he had one good season, that was it. He thought he was coming back, but Arizona chose to break the bank and bring him in.
Right.
And literally, the offer Arizona gave him was millions beyond what his agent expected any right. offer to be. And it was like, they thought, okay, this is stupid money. We'd be stupid not to take it.
Right.
It ended up not being stupid money because he was really productive. But the point is that the Broncos, the pass rush search to have two guys went on for a long time and has only been solved intermittently. It was like that when they had Vaughn and Elvis Dumervil, it was solved for those 2 years. And then came the fax incident. And then, after a year of Sean Phillips, you get DeMarcus Ware, and they wring everything out of what DeMarcus has left in those 3 seasons, but injuries catch up to him. And then after the 17 season, boom, they draft Bradley Chubb, but we've been able to see so little of Vaughn and Chubb together,
right.
Literally that 2018 season, and then it's 4 games since then. Do they want to put themselves in a position where they're chasing another pass rusher? Because the other thing with Von Miller is this. I don't think Von Miller returning has a lot to do with Von Miller. I think it's got a lot more to do with who the quarterback is and what the direction of this franchise is.
In terms of salary.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but in terms of his willingness to take a deal.
Sure.
If Aaron Rodgers is a Bronco,
yep.
Von Miller will be a Bronco in 2022.
Yeah.
He'll take what comes his way.
Right.
It's a weird thing to say, oh, well, you've got the big contract of Aaron Rodgers. They'll fit in Von Miller. No, Von Miller will fit himself in if Aaron Rodgers is a Bronco.
Right. Coming up after the break, Peyton Manning held a press conference today to talk about his soon-to-be induction into the Hall of Fame, and he was asked if he would be interested in a bigger role with the Broncos, knowing the ownership uncertainty. What did Peyton have to say? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking for a great drink this upcoming weekend or any day of the week, highly recommend Denver Distillery. They've been around for a couple of years, but boy, they are making some noise in the spirit business. Denver Distillery just recognized as having one of the top five whiskeys to watch out for nationwide this upcoming year. They've also been given a bunch of other honors for some of their other spirits, like sweet potato vodka, Colorado gin, straight four grain bourbon, apple pie moonshine, and bourbon barrel aged spice rum. I've had that bourbon barrel aged spice rum. It is really good. I really like the sweet potato vodka. Usually I mix my vodka with like tonic or maybe 7-Up, but I just like to sip it because I like the taste of the sweet potato on my lips. It's really good stuff. They're a terrific local company. You can find them off of Broadway in Denver, and you can go down there and see how they make these great spirits. So you can go down there, maybe have a sandwich or something like that, or you can find them in your local liquor store, and if they don't have it, say, get us some Denver Distillery. We want award-winning spirits in your liquor store. You know what? They're being carried in a bunch of restaurants in Denver as well. Denver Distillery, a local company making good on the national circuit. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, Danny, we have some breaking news. This coming out of the Broncos ownership battle situation. According to court documents, both sides have agreed and the court has found that the 2009 estate planning documents of the Pat Bowlen Trust are valid and enforceable and reflect what Pat Bowlen wanted, his intent and will, when he signed it in 2009. Two of Pat Bowlen's daughters were challenging the fact that Pat Bowlen didn't really know what he was signing. Well, now the two sides have agreed that the case has been dismissed and the trust, which is led by Joe Ellis, is back in charge. Now the question is, will the trust try and push through Brittany Bowlen still being the owner?
Now, here's where it gets interesting. Kevin Vaughn of Nine News tweets out that the motion to dismiss the case was filed by Beth Bowlen Wallace and Amy Bowlen Clemmer, the two daughters of Pat Bowlen's first marriage to Sally Parker. So the question is, what compelled them to file the motion to dismiss and see everything? This is where you say, okay, is there a settlement? Has some accord been reached? Is it a matter where they've agreed that the trust will hand the reins to Brittany, or is it a matter where they've agreed that the team will go on the market? That's the question.
If you had to guess, because I have a guess.
Yeah.
What would you guess the agreement was?
I would guess the agreement calls for a sale at some point in the next.
Yeah.
Now, maybe
you
not, maybe not
I'll
immediately. Yeah, maybe not immediately, but I could see a sale in the next in the next 12 to 24 months.
I've also been told I don't have a second confirmation on this, so you know. I don't have a second confirmation, but the source who I talked to today is a very good source of mine, told me that the league has already started vetting potential ownership groups.
Yes.
And two potential investors have been vetted and cleared to make a bid. Meaning the NFL has said, we're good if you want to make a bid. Because not everybody gets to make a bid, right?
Right.
Those two people are Jeff Bezos and Steve Ballmer, who owns the LA Clippers.
Big money.
Yep.
And big resources and the ability to do big things. And specifically, in those cases, the ability to do big things without putting stuff on the backs of the taxpayers. Because, believe it or not, we're two-thirds of the way down the line for the Broncos' lease with Empower Field at Mile High. Seems crazy to think about it because time flies. It still seems like the new stadium to me. But yet the notion...
Coors Field seems new.
Yeah.
It's the third oldest ballpark in the National League.
But the notion of replacing it for something bigger and better, a Jerry World of the Rockies... is the kind of thing that
don't get too carried away. Oh. That Jeff Bezos, despite his billions and billions in net worth, is not going to still say, "I want the taxpayers to pay for a new
stadium." I don't think he'll want the taxpayers to pay for a new, for in full though. You're not gonna get a stadium handed to you. You're gonna have to go ahead and do it yourself. Now Steve Ballmer has done a lot of that on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Now basically it's a matter of, okay, if I can get the land for a reasonable rate, I'll build it.
And, where's that land going to be? Commerce City? Because I can tell you right now what's going on in Chicago. The Bears want to move out of the city of Chicago, and they want to go to Arlington Heights. How do you feel about the stadium being moved to, say, Commerce City, where maybe the land is cheaper?
Or maybe further than Commerce City. Maybe you're talking about somewhere out off of Peña, say, right where Peña goes up to DIA, where the rail line, the commuter rail line goes. Something like that.
I'll give you a spot where there's more land than they know what to do with. It's right where Mandy lives in Arvada, near Indiana and 64th. Mm-hmm. It's nothing but open land.
These are the types of things, if you have a new owner in place that has money and wants to do more.
That land will be cheap.
But the other thing that could happen is they could look at the land they're on right now and say, what if we were able to have total control over this? And develop literally a neighborhood on the other side of 25 from downtown where the stadium is.
How would you feel if the Broncos were not the Denver Broncos? They were the Arvada Broncos. They wouldn't change the name Denver. I get it. I understand they're not changing the name to the Arvada Broncos.
Right.
They're not changing it to the Commerce City Broncos. But this city is uniquely structured where we have all of our sports facilities probably within about a 3-mile radius.
And they're in the city center.
And it's pretty nice.
And they're in the city center.
Right.
The Broncos Stadium, I'm going to say it's not downtown because it's on the other side of the highway.
No.
But it's central. It's a good location, but the thing about it is, because it's only a football stadium, it's underutilized. So how do you develop something there that takes advantage of the proximity to two rail lines? How do you take advantage of being just on the other side from downtown?
I have a team you can ask. You should ask Robert Kraft and the Patriots on how difficult it is to get to his stadium in Foxborough with that two-lane highway that is awful.
They've expanded.
Well,
US 1 has expanded since
then. I understand. It's a nightmare.
It's kind of the middle of nowhere.
It's a nightmare getting in and out of that place. And I mentioned Arvada. They're not going to be doing it there despite all that land. There's no way you can get in and out of there with any type of convenience. Yeah. Not to mention the city up in that area would never allow it because they wouldn't want all that traffic. As a matter of fact, that city didn't want that Amazon plant built there because they were afraid of all that traffic.
But the general point is, to go back to what you're saying, that the NFL has already vetted Jeff Bezos and Steve Ballmer.
Yep.
That means that Jeff Bezos and Steve Ballmer are interested in buying into the NFL.
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's an interesting.
But we already knew that about Bezos because of his interest in the Washington Redskins.
Steve Ballmer owns the Clippers.
Right.
is Steve Ballmer being vetted maybe more about the budding ownership issues and contentious situation with the Spanos family in Los Angeles?
Maybe.
That's what that may be.
What about Phil Anschutz? He just sold he just sold his ownership stake in the, was it the Chargers?
The Lakers.
No. It was a football team, I thought.
No, it was the Phil Anschutz has never had a stake of a football team.
Then he hasn't had a stake in a football team.
Yeah. Phil Anschutz.
I feel like a parrot. I'm just repeating.
Phil Anschutz is selling his stake in the Lakers.
There you go.
Now,
not that he needs to sell that stake to come up with some pocket change to buy the Broncos.
He's 81 years old at the same time. And right. So with if an Anschutz bid, and of course we know all about the local connections here in Colorado.
Right.
They are deep. And if you wanted local money, Anschutz is the primary local money man who could be involved. The thing is, you would basically be saying, okay, how long is Phil Anschutz going to own the team? You'd be talking about if it wasn't settled properly, you'd be talking about maybe another, you know, passing to the heirs issue. Although that being said, it would not probably be like the Bolins because Anschutz on his own is worth, I believe, $10.1 billion. And has a fairly diverse collection of holdings, so the team could more easily be passed on with the heirs able to take on the tax bill.
By the way, Mike Kliss of 9 News reporting it is still not clear if a settlement has been reached with that. I think you and I should try and find a way to buy the Broncos. Mace, here's 20. I'm in.
All right, I'll write a $50 check and.
So you want to be the majority owner? Do you?
Well, I mean,
that's fine with me.
I have experience working in NFL organizations.
Yes, you do. Coming up after the break, this is a really nice segue into what we were supposed to talk about in this segment, which was Peyton Manning was asked about the ownership situation and if he was interested in potentially putting together a group to buy the Broncos. He was asked that today on a Zoom call talking about his induction into the Hall of Fame. What did Manning have to say about possibly being a part owner of the Broncos? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman, if you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail. Wholesale lumber to the public for your next project. Go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, don't forget to download our app, Mile High Sports. You can take us on the go. If you want to listen in your car, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3, that's cool. But a lot of cars have CarPlay now, and just listen on our app. It's a great listen. Plus, you can download all of our podcasts and stuff like that. With that, time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
So recapping a story that broke about 25 minutes ago, the case of Bolin essentially versus the Bolin Trust has been dismissed. And now the Bolin Trust is fully in charge. What the court said was that Pat Bolin was indeed in good health when he signed the agreement to put everything into the trust in 2009. So with that, Peyton Manning held a Zoom press conference today talking about his induction in the Hall of Fame, and he was asked if he'd be interested in a bigger role with the team given the ownership uncertainty. And he said, I'm interested as anyone in what is going to happen. I try to go year to year and try to do different things. I never thought I would be a game show host. With that, there are a lot of different directions we can go. You and I have talked about this. Because of the gambling money, right now the team is valued at about $3.5 billion. I don't think it goes a penny lower than $4 billion. I think it's going to be closer to $5 billion. With that, do you think the Bolin Trust would consider taking a little less money if Peyton Manning was involved?
it depends on the terms of the trust and the terms of the sale. Now, obviously, the trust has kind of final say, but what is the mission?
Well, that's what I mean. They have final say.
What is the mission of the trust? Is the mission of the trust to sell the team to whoever they think is best, or is the mission of the trust to sell the team to the one who comes in with the most money?
No, it's the best interest of the team. Right. It would always be the best interest of the team. Now, if we are suggesting that Manning came in with a group and it was $4.25 billion and another group came in at $5 billion, I'm sorry, Peyton, you're not going to have a football team. But
if it's a difference of
$200 million.
Right.
Yes.
If it's you said 4.25 versus 4.5, right?
No, 4.25 versus 5 billion.
Okay, yeah. If it's a
that's too much.
If it's a difference of $750 million,
that's a lot.
If it's a difference of $100 million,
yeah.
Which is which when you talk about the Bolin children plus the state that John Bolin, Pat's brother, still owns in the team, I mean, effectively that's gonna average out to a pre-tax difference of $10 million ahead. I think that's the sort of thing where they say, okay, if one group has Peyton, one doesn't, we'll go with the group of Peyton.
Remember something. It's Roger Goodell's goal to get the most money for the team because that helps the owners, and the owners still need to vote on it. So Roger Goodell...
And Joe Ellis is a league guy, even...
Right. Roger Goodell is going to want the most money to help out his owners, but I also think there is a part of Roger Goodell in which he wants Peyton Manning in the league.
Yes. Now,
again.
Peyton is obviously not going to be a majority owner.
No.
Nor will he be the managing partner.
No.
Because, I mean, the names that you mentioned earlier. Okay.
But he will have his pick of titles.
Yeah.
On the day-to-day side.
Well, Magic Johnson was the front man that bought the Dodgers.
That's where I was going.
Do you know how much Magic Johnson invested in the Dodgers?
No.
$50 million. Of a $2.15 billion purchase price. So it was about 2.3%. Mm-hmm. But Magic Johnson is the front man. He's not the managing partner, but he's the front facing part of the investment group. And certainly in terms of PR, it was a brilliant stroke to have Magic Johnson be in front of that group.
I would bet the house against a cup of coffee that Peyton Manning has zero interest in a Magic Johnson type of role. But I'll tell you who would have interest, John Elway. John Elway likes being in Coeur d'Alene. He likes his golf. He likes his free time. I don't think he wants to be part of the day-to-day inside that building anymore. I think he would love a Magic Johnson type of role.
But Peyton's with Magic Johnson on steroids. Peyton would want to be team president.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yes. Magic Johnson is a figurehead. He is an ambassador.
He's riding the train.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning does, as I just said, I don't know if you heard me. Peyton Manning doesn't want that.
He won't.
John Elway would. Yeah. John Elway would want the Magic Johnson role. No decision making, getting checks.
But Peyton wants, I think, the Magic Johnson role in terms of buying in and having a role in the day-to-day.
Magic Johnson doesn't have a role in the day-to-day.
No, I'm saying he wants more than Magic Johnson.
You're not listening to me.
Listening to me because I'm saying that Peyton wants to be involved in the day-to-day.
I said that.
But he also wants to be part of the ownership group, I would think.
I said that too.
Yeah.
He
wants more than...
I said that actually 2 minutes ago.
No,
I said the same
thing. The way you were saying it was like either... You were,
let
the
me
way
clarify.
You were, no, sorry. Stop. The way you were saying it was like either or.
Listen, let me clarify. You listening? The Magic Johnson role is perfect for John Elway. No responsibility, face of the franchise, go to the games, collect checks, play golf, hang out with your friends in Coeur d'Alene. Peyton Manning has no interest in that role. I'm talking about an ownership group. Both, let's say Elway has an ownership group and Peyton has an ownership group. Clearly, both guys would have ownership stake. Manning, the question is this.
Which is why I said he wants Magic Johnson plus. That's what he wants that. Oh the plus God, is being God, the team president.
So difficult.
That was my point.
The question is, would Manning want to be the Ellis role or the president of football operations, which was Elway's role? Which do you think he would want? Because he'll get his pick.
Honestly, I think he'd like to be supervising the whole shebang.
I have no doubt he would want to be the president of the team. He would want Joe Ellis's role.
Yes.
No doubt at all.
Now, he would have... There's actually kind of a model for this. Rich McKay down in Atlanta. who has been a general manager and a very successful one, and then he moved up to team president. Mm-hmm. And that means, like, he's on the competition committee to this day.
Right.
He can still kind of walk in and have some direction on football operations.
No, but hold on.
But he oversees everything.
Here's the thing. Do you think Manning would want final say on draft picks? A final say on free agent signings?
The big ones.
He wants final say?
I don't think
then you don't want to work for Peyton Manning.
No, I don't think he
would. You don't want to work for Peyton Manning.
I don't think he wants final say over, say, a backup linebacker that you're signing in free agency. But we know, like, for example, when it comes to, if you trade for a quarterback, right? Let's say a team trades for Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen without the owner saying, let's do this. I mean, even you go back to the John Elway trade in 1983.
But he's not the majority owner.
No, but he's...
Manning's not the majority owner. Yeah. Let's say he goes in with Bezos. It's Bezos' decision.
Right.
The owner does this. He says, do I want to pay this? Yeah. Unless you're Dan Snyder.
Literally, the only thing Peyton Manning would check in that case is, hey, can we afford this?
Exactly.
And if the owner is Steve Ballmer or Jeff Bezos, money is no object.
Can we afford to bring him in? That is a Joe Ellis decision. That is an ownership decision. As far as the quality of the player, that is the GM decision. You don't want to start mixing the two together like peanut butter and jelly and thinking it's going to be a great tasting sandwich. You have to, if you're Peyton Manning, you have to allow your GM to be the GM. The GM has to go to the team president and the owner, but that should be a financial decision, not Peyton saying, well, I don't think this guy has good years left.
Well, you think,
because then you are superseding the role of your GM.
You think Peyton wouldn't be taking a look at the court, like if there was a pressing need at quarterback and the Broncos or whatever team he ran had a high pick, you don't think he wouldn't be sitting in the film room though?
He doesn't have the time. If he's running an organization like Joe Ellis, the business operation side, he doesn't have, there aren't enough, I'm sorry, but there are not enough hours in the day.
But the most important thing that you have for the success of an organization is the quarterback.
One quick thing, can we just kill the music? We have 2 minutes to spend on this. I know tops. Let's say Manning said, I want to be the president of football operations, making the final decision. Who do you think would be better, Manning or Elway? We know what Elway's done. Who would be better? Would Manning be better?
I mean, I don't know. And I know
of
that,
course you don't know, give me your opinion, yes or no. It's called Sports Talk Radio for a reason. Have an opinion.
Well, I mean, you're putting me on the spot here.
Well, I'm putting myself on the spot, too. I didn't ask you the question, so I can avoid answering.
I mean, John Elway did a lot of things right, and Peyton Manning shouted out John Elway as a reason why he came to Denver.
Correct.
So it's a high bar to clear. My answer.
Would he be better? Yes or no?
It all.
Oh God.
It all depends on the quarterback. That's the answer. That's the answer I'll give you.
Okay.
If he has the quarterback, he'll do better.
Okay.
How about you? What do you think?
I think Manning wants to put the smartest people around him. Elway did a really good job. I'm not saying that Elway isn't a tireless worker. I'm saying that Manning is. He is a tireless. He is going to research everything on his own. He's going to listen to the people around him and make the most educated decision that he can. I'm not saying that Elway doesn't. I'm saying I believe that's what Manning will do.
Can he delegate, though?
That's a great question.
And that's the only question I have with Peyton Manning. John Elway could delegate, but Peyton likes to know as much as he can about everything. That's the way. The way his mind works.
Okay, but you have to. He'll want to hire good people around him. Really good people around him. Yeah. He's going to want to hire people around him that are smarter than him.
He'll probably have the greatest team of consultants that's ever been. He's going to be calling Bill Polian if he does this?
And if he
as
is
a consultant,
so he will listen to Bill Polian. Yeah. He will listen to the people around him that he hired. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing? Just in case you missed it.
In just about 5 hours here local time, the Open Championship will be getting started out in England. Also, NBA Finals Game 4 between the Suns and the Bucks this evening. We'll talk about all that next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason watches milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. We do have some breaking news here, which I suppose if we want to stretch it out, we could make a very strong case. This is going to affect the world of sports, but most importantly, it affects the day-to-day life of Andrew Mason. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senate Democrats have unveiled a proposal to federally decriminalize marijuana.
Why do you say it affects me? I literally haven't had anything, any marijuana in a couple of years.
I don't know if you know this, but drug use makes people paranoid.
No, stop it.
With that,
this affects all sports, though.
That's right.
And let's take football, for example.
Right.
Does the NFL, if marijuana is decriminalized on a federal level, does the NFL take marijuana off the banned substance list? It would certainly be an olive branch to throw the players, especially if, for example,
you get an 18th game.
Bingo!
Right.
You took the words right out of my mouth, but you're absolutely correct.
That's
this is the sort of back and forth that goes on, because just because it's decriminalized does not mean it is immediately taken off of the banned substance list, although you would think that is something that would come into play. So this, and it would have an impact across all sports, but especially football, because of, let's face it, you know, there are players that do, you know, they get around the testing timing and they'll get off marijuana when it's time to clean out the system in advance of a test. But a lot of players do take it for chronic pain management.
Right. But more importantly, this is great news for you and Amy when Charlotte goes to sleep. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Refreshed Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center. Eric, stop snoring and you can too. Go to refreshedsleep.com.
Yeah, you don't have to drink anymore when she goes to sleep. It's perfect.
Hey now.
Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to masterpieceroofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, the Open Championship begins tomorrow, tonight, depending on how you look at it, at Royal St. George's Golf Course in Sandwich, England. Any storylines you've got your eye on for the Open this weekend?
No, not really. I mean, Jon Rahm is the overwhelming favorite to win it. So, I mean, I hope he wins. I mean, after what happened to him earlier this year, didn't he get disqualified for something?
Yeah, because
he had a positive COVID test.
He got pulled in the middle of a round.
That's right.
It was after three rounds he got pulled and that was it. So, you know, he's going to be the favorite. I would say this. I haven't looked at the odds just yet, but I'm looking at maybe like a Jordan Spieth. I'm actually looking now at the odds, say 18-1. Might be a one worth playing there if you're betting on the Open.
Just in case you missed it, NBA Finals Game 4 this evening. Suns with a 2-1 lead at Milwaukee. Giannis has had back-to-back 40-10 games for the Bucks. Can he do it again tonight and do the Bucks even the series?
A, he can do it again. B, yes, they're going to even the series.
When's the last time they played?
Sunday.
It feels like 3 weeks ago.
Because they took an extra day.
I understand that.
And they did it because of the All-Star game.
I know why they did it. The point is, it is so far in my rearview mirror, I just don't even care.
Oh, well, that's fine, but it should be a good game. And another 40-10 game for Giannis. I mean, you're talking about him putting together a level of performance that, If he keeps cranking out 40-10 games, there's an argument for him to be the MVP even if the Bucks lose this series the way he's playing. And he's doing it on a bum knee. We're probably going to find out after the finals he's going to have surgery.
The NBA season is so far in my rearview mirror over the horizon line, it's as if it doesn't even exist in my life anymore.
One also, I mean, we kind of turned the page yesterday when we talked about the Olympic team.
Right. Yeah, let's get involved in Olympic basketball because they finally beat a team. They beat Australia. Bravo.
Argentina.
They lost
them
to Australia.
Too. They beat Argentina.
They beat Argentina led by Facu Campazzo.
You know what? They have a difficult time at times with teams or countries that begin with the letter A. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see how they play Antarctica tomorrow night. They will likely be cold from the field.
Oy.
Just in case you missed it, coming out of the MLB All-Star break, let's take stock on where some teams stand. The division leaders at this time, the Red Sox, White Sox, Astros, Mets, Brewers, and Giants. Are there any teams that stand out as having a very impressive first half of the season? Any teams that you were very disappointed in besides the Rockies in their first half of the season?
The Giants are the story of baseball this year.
Yeah, nobody saw this coming. The Red Sox also really being a bad team last year and a shaky team the year before, having bounced back so thoroughly. Disappointments. I think the two biggest disappointments in baseball this year are the Atlanta Braves and the Minnesota Twins.
Although No. The Braves are disappointing to you.
No.
Yes.
They won three straight division titles. They're four games below 500. But
listen, when they get to the playoffs, they don't win anyway. Why are you setting yourself up for disappointment?
They won two playoff rounds last year.
They don't win titles. We both know that. Don't set yourself up for disappointment. Just be glad you don't make it. They're kind of turning into the Buffalo Bills.
They were the Buffalo Bills in the 1990s, except they actually won one.
They did.
Buffalo's still waiting for its world championship.
Oh, okay, tough guy.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Okay, we won.
Just saying.
I don't remember you pitching in that series.
I didn't say we. I'm saying the Braves won.
Ah.
I didn't say we. I don't say we with teams on the air.
We got a show starting at 6, so we got to wrap this thing up. That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it's been hailing lately. Has your roof been damaged? If so, you need to talk to the guys at Masterpiece Roofing, voted Denver's best roofing company. Let them come out, give you a free estimate, and they can show you how the insurance company could pay for your roof. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Alex, Danny, great job today. Mace?
See you tomorrow. Good show.
I'm very happy for this potential legislation about decriminalizing marijuana for you and your family. Make it the best possible night you can.